May it please the Court, my name is Mark Kokel. I represent the appellant in this case, Anwar Darif. Mr. Darif is a native and citizen of Morocco. I have represented Mr. Darif since June of 2006. This is an immigration case. We are asking for a review of a December 8, 2011 decision issued by the Board of Immigration Appeals. We are only appealing part of that decision. The part of the decision that we are appealing is the Board's decision on Mr. Darif's request for remand of his proceedings to the Chicago Immigration Court for further proceedings under Section 8 U.S.C. 1186 small a.
So is the government correct that you're waiving any issues related to withholding of removal and convention against torture relief?
Yes, we are waiving those, Your Honor. I believe that a cogent argument can be made for vacating the Board's decision, the withholding and CAT claims. I don't believe that we can make as cogent an argument.
What evidence of hardship was Mr. Darif prevented from presenting? Was there anything more than that which was in his affidavit?
That which was in his affidavit was at the time what he had. He now has a child that is somewhat older. He was helpful with respect to an investigation by law enforcement in his area of Illinois. At the time, and the last time that this was before the Immigration Court, and well, before the Board of Immigration Appeals, was when that motion was filed in July of 2009. There is tension, and I believe that the Second Circuit has addressed a case with respect to what hardship factors can and will be taken into account with respect to a respondent's, or in this case Mr. Darif's, hardship claim, limiting it to a certain period of time versus an open-ended period of hardship from the time he was admitted to the United States. That, however, was not the basis, or is not the basis currently for our request for, finally, a hearing on his request for an extreme hardship waiver. This court has been very mindful of folks having physical access to the courts, but no real meaningful access to the courts. And in this case, Mr. Darif has been requesting, since I have been representing him since 2006, he has been requesting review of an extreme hardship waiver that his removal from the United States would exact an extreme hardship on himself, and the Immigration Court and the Board of Immigration Appeals have not been willing to ever give him that particular hearing. This particular issue, the particular claim before the court, before this court now, began in June 30th, 2006, at which time Mr. Darif presented, was ready to present testimony on his extreme hardship waiver before the Chicago Immigration Court. At that time,
What would that testimony have entailed?
Pardon?
What would that testimony have entailed?
It would have detailed, again, his...
His cooperation with state authorities on a criminal matter is not a hardship. It may be a mitigating factor in other forms of immigration relief determinations, but it's not an extreme hardship for purposes of this kind of a waiver. What extreme hardship?
The time that he had lived in the United States, being over 5 years, the aspect of his eventual withholding of removal claim and the concerns that he has about his safety if returned to Morocco, those are the types of factors that the Board of Immigration Appeals and the Immigration Courts have been willing to consider with respect to the hardship.
But that was in the affidavit?
What was provided in the affidavit was as up-to-date as possible at that time.
And the judge said none of this comes even remotely close to qualifying.
Well,
and the board affirmed that. So what purpose does a remand serve?
Well, the purpose of a remand is really twofold. I think that there is not only a full and fair hearing issue, the procedural sufficiency of proceedings to date, but I also think that there's a policy issue with respect to the immigration court handling of this particular matter. There is absolutely no argument from me that the conviction Mr. Darif has that brought him into the removal process from the United States that it is in any way a trifle, not at all. However, when he is before the immigration court and the immigration judge...
It's more than not just a trifle, it's disqualifying.
The issue of disqualifying, that particular issue, the immigration judge at the time of the hearing in 2006 said categorically, if your marriage was not a good marriage and you've been convicted of marriage fraud, you are ineligible for this relief. The Board of Immigration Appeals remanded the case back to the immigration judge and instructed or stated that the judge appeared to have been mistaken. There is no good faith marriage requirement in order to request an extreme hardship waiver under Section 1186-a. The board was very clear. The board went on to say that we think it would be futile for him to even posit this argument. On remand, the immigration judge waited for the Immigration Service to adjudicate that hardship waiver. The Immigration Service has original jurisdiction over that. The court could not move forward until that, or would certainly in this case would not move forward until that decision was rendered. When it was rendered, there was a somewhat novel argument that because he was still married, he was ineligible. And at the time of the hearing on in 2009, March 2nd, 2009, when this issue came to the forefront, that is also when the judge said that, Mr. Kokol, unless you have something more, some sort of case law that says that still being married does not preclude your client from seeking this waiver, by the way, I'm going to seek sanctions against you through the appropriate authorities. The effect of that hearing in 2009, the judge allowed us to go out and discuss that particular threat. And Mr. Dorif asked the court to allow me off the case because he did not want to have our insistence on pursuing any and all relief that's possibly available to affect my ability to continue practice law. And the judge said, no, he's staying on the case. But in essence, the judge created quite a bit of conflict between my client and I. Anything that would come out of his mouth could be attributed to what the judge was eventually going to argue was frivolous conduct on my part. Thankfully, the government attorney seems to agree that our representation was as zealous a defense as we could put on, given the circumstances. I think that underscores the bias in the record by this particular immigration judge, who I've practiced in front of for over 15 years. Very good, solid, gracious decisions, courageous decisions. I think that this was a bad day. I think that this is a case that should be not only vacated but remanded back to the immigration court with a completely separate immigration judge reviewing this particular claim.
Okay. Thank you, Mr.
Thank you.
Jensen? Good afternoon. May it please the court, I'm Lyle Jensen for the respondent, the Attorney General. The issue in this case is whether this court has jurisdiction to review the board's discretionary denial of the hardship waiver. Now, obviously, as Mr. Kokol said, there was a lot that went on before it reached the board. And we understand that, and we understand the claim of bias. But when it reached the board in a separate decision that did not cite the immigration judge's decision, it did not cite the immigration judge's reasons, the board said, you've submitted an affidavit to us on a motion to remand. You've submitted a very detailed motion to reopen. We have considered all of that to include all of the grounds that you have raised. And as a matter of discretion, we will deny the hardship waiver. And essentially they gave two reasons. The first was your fraud conviction, your marriage fraud conviction is just too heavy a weight to go against us or to support your request for a hardship waiver. But then they went on and discussed the matters that he raised in the affidavit. And as we have learned today, that is what Mr. Dorif would have testified to Had he gotten the hearing before the immigration judge that he did not get because the immigration judge found he was statutorily ineligible for the relief. So the bottom line is, he's gotten all his evidence of hardship before a neutral, impartial, unbiased tribunal. And that tribunal said, as a matter of discretion, we are denying your hardship waiver.
Here's something I wasn't sure I understood 100%, because in the brief you argued that Mr. Darif has no liberty or property interest in obtaining discretionary relief. But doesn't he have a due process right to an unbiased adjudicator for his claim for discretionary relief? I mean,
well, the court gets at that in another way. We believe that because it's discretionary relief, there is no liberty or property interest. But in effect, what Mr. Kokol and what Mr. Darif are challenging is the way that the hearing was conducted. That's a legal question. This court has pure jurisdiction over that. Government does not dispute that. But regardless, because there's no prejudice, whether you say there's a due process claim, even if you find a liberty interest, or the legal issue, because he cannot show any prejudice, both claims necessarily fail.
Show any prejudice.
And there's, yes,
Your
Honor.
The board treated the hardship issue de novo.
The board treated the hardship issue de novo as they were supposed to do under the regulation. And as a matter of discretion, they denied it. That's why there's no prejudice. As we've learned today in opposing counsel's argument, all the issues that he wished to raise before the immigration judge on the matter of hardship were in his affidavit that was considered by the board. That being the case, there can be no prejudice.
Here's what worries me.
Yes, Your Honor.
Mr. Kokol's right about the immigration judge normally being a gracious and fine immigration judge. And the BIA... may not have been able to get past what is a very contentious bunch of hearings.
I'm not quite sure I follow, because the BIA...
In other words, you know, formally, yes, you know, they say this is de novo review, but...
Well, their decision indicates it was de novo review. They discuss the grounds for hardship that were raised.
They never actually said that they were ruling that they were just exercising their discretion, did they?
What they said, and I have the exact quote here, which I of course can't find. But what they said was, any further review would be futile because of the fraudulent conduct.
Right.
We deny as a matter of discretion.
Did they say as a matter of discretion?
Yes, they used the word discretion specifically. The motion was futile because his prior marriage fraud conviction warrants a denial in the matter of discretion.
What are you looking at?
That would be at AR, Certified Administrative Record 5.
5, did you say?
Yes, Your Honor. That would be right after they finish their discussion.
That's the beginning. What page are you reading from?
It would be the second page of the decision. I believe it is AR-5, Your Honor. And you'll see it's right after they finish discussing the withholding claim.
AR-5, at the very last page of the board's.
That's the last page was 6, the page right before that.
It's page 3 of the board's decision.
It's page...
Do you understand?
The opinion has four pages.
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, now what page are you...
It would be the third page. Again, maybe I'm mistaken, but I believe it's AR5.
Okay, where on the third page?
In the middle. You will see they finish discussing the withholding claim. Then they move on to the 1186 AC4 claim.
What paragraph?
We will deny the respondent's motion to remand.
Based on the fact that now he is legally divorced?
And the motion is futile.
Futile, yeah.
And this warrants...
Oh, I see. That's where it says warrants
the waiver
a denial
in the exercise of discretion.
Yes, Your Honor. Now, if you go down to the next paragraph below that, Your Honor, that's where they talk about the actual hardship. They say, as a second reason, he hasn't proffered enough hardship to merit a discretionary grant. Now, it is the government's position that pursuant to 8 U.S.C. 1252 A2B2, this court lacks jurisdiction to review that decision. And it's the government's argument that that is the end of what this court can do, because the board did deny as a matter of jurisdiction.
As a matter of discretion.
As a matter of discretion. I apologize, Your Honor.
So it's pretty clear that the immigration judge viewed not only the marriage as a sham, because that had been adjudicated in the criminal case, the marriage fraud case, but also the alien relative petition as a sham, and the petition to remove the conditional nature of the alien's permanent residency as a sham, and the extreme hardship petition as a sham, based on this entire course
of conduct. Well, certainly the first part. He viewed the marriage as a sham, that he had no right to go any further.
But right, but all the alien relative petitions and the petition to remove the conditional nature of his residency and so forth, I mean, those all depend on a good marriage.
That was the immigration judge's position.
That was his position on the lack of good faith here. He carried that over into the extreme hardship analysis. That's what the board said was wrong.
Well, that was in the first decision.
Right.
In the second decision, the immigration judge changed it a bit and said, you filed a joint petition with the woman you purported to be your wife. You, therefore, don't need the hardship waiver because under the statute, under the immigration judge's interpretation, that, of course, is what Mr. Kokol challenges, because you can do that, you can't get a hardship waiver.
Right.
The board did not address that. They, in fact, because they found it's a matter of discretion, it was not worthy, they didn't address that issue. I am out of time, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Jones.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Fogle, your time expired. We'll give you another minute if you have anything further.
Mr. Kokol, how do we get past this?
The argument is that Mr. Darif was really left at the doors for the court. He never, ever received any semblance of a fair review. Failure to exercise discretion is not an exercise of discretion. Failure to fairly look at a set of facts is likewise improper on the immigration court's part. The Board of Immigration Appeals essentially provided cover by using the phrase discretion, because that is magically under 1252 a way that
this... Well, did the board have all the relevant evidence?
What the board had before it automatically went before it. We filed a motion to reopen.
So the board had everything, and they exercised their discretion, so what more is there to say?
With respect to the discretion, and counsel it was discussing this, the issue of discretion is handled in one line, which states, and I'm just going to quote from the same page that you were discussing with counsel, respondent's motion is futile because his prior federal conviction of marriage fraud in connection with his marriage warrants a denial of the waiver and the exercise of discretion, period. That's it. It's conduct. The conduct in this regard outweighs the positive factors set forth in the record. There is no thorough discussion of what exactly was before the board. We were in front of the board on the issue of whether Mr. Darif was statutorily eligible for the relief in the first place. The board never touched it. Used the phrase discretion, that because this is a discretionary decision, that will somehow pull the the blanket over the entire case. We are asking this court to look at the way Mr. DeReef's matter was handled in the immigration courts since day one. He has never... Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Kokol and Mr. Jensen.